Good morning, everyone. The time being 11 o'clock, we might begin. My name is Paula Reet, I'm the Mayor of Kingborough. Council meetings are recorded and made publicly available on our website. So in accordance with Council's policy, I will now request confirmation from the General Manager that the audio recording has commenced.
It has commenced.
Thank you. We're getting a little bit of feedback. Is that...? Okay, thank you. That's better. Yep, can everyone hear me all right still up the back? Thank you. So warm welcome to everyone here this morning. Today is Saturday the 4th of December 2021 and the time being 11 a.m. I declare this meeting open. In addition to those who are with us today, the meeting is being live streamed on YouTube. So welcome to anyone who is watching us through there. I'd like to begin by paying my respects to the traditional and original owners of this land, the Mohonina people. I pay my respects to those that have passed before us and acknowledge today's Tasmanian Aboriginal people who are the custodians of this land. The attendees today are myself, Councillor Reed. We also have Councillor Bastone, Councillor Cordova, Councillor Fox, Councillor Gladerite, Councillor Grace and Councillor Street. We have some staff who are with us today and I thank them for giving up their time on the weekend to be here. We have the General Manager, Gary Arnold, the Director of Environment, Development and Community, Dr. Katrina Stevenson, the Director of Governance, Recreation and Property Services, Mr. Daniel Smee, our Media and Communications Advisor, Ms. Sam Adams, the Coordinator Community Services in the Hub, Ms. Carol Swords, and the Executive Assistant, Mrs. Amanda Morton. Apologies that I have listed for today. We have apologies from the Deputy Mayor, Councillor Westwood, Councillor Midgley and Councillor Wass. Moving to agenda item 5, it's confirmation of minutes. The recommendation is that the minutes of the AGM held on Saturday the 27th of February 2021 and marked as attachment A to this agenda be confirmed as a true record. Do I have a mover? I have a mover in Councillor Gladerite and a seconder in Councillor Street. All those in favour of the minutes, please raise your hands. It's only to confirm that she doesn't. We checked on this yesterday. Yeah, thank you. So all those in favour of the minutes, please raise your hands. Yep. Thank you. That recommendation is passed. So before we move to the substantive items on the agenda, I just wanted to give you a reminder of how the AGM works. As the Mayor, I chair it, and whilst councillors are in attendance, the interaction is largely between our members of the community that are here today and myself and council officers. So you will have the opportunity to ask questions and later on also, if you'd like to move notices of motion. We also, just a reminder that we have meeting procedures for how today's meeting works. They're outlined in the beginning of the agenda papers. So we do ask that when it comes to that, if you'd like to ask a question without notice or if you'd like to move a motion, that for the purpose of the minutes and out of courtesy, that when you come to the lectern that you could please identify yourself with your name and the suburb in which you live. And if we could also just proceed in an orderly manner today in accordance with guidelines that we have distributed. You must not make a personal reflection on any councillor, council employee or other member of the public. You must not disrupt the meeting or use any offensive expression. So having said that, we now move to agenda item 6, which is a welcome by myself. We are here today to consider Council's annual report for 2021. Hopefully everyone has had the opportunity to read the document. If not, it is available on our website and we do have several copies available here that you can take with you today. This is actually my the report for the period of before my election as Mayor at the end of July, so I wanted to place on record my sincere thanks to the outgoing Mayor, Dean Winter, for his leadership of Council over that period of the last financial year. At the last AGM in February, Dean reflected on the challenging and uncertain times that we faced globally due to the pandemic. And I wish I could sit here today and say that all of that was behind us. I think we've been very fortunate as an island state to be protected thanks to our natural moat that we have the benefit of. And I'm sure that we are all feeling excited about the borders reopening, but also excited to see families reunited, but a little nervous about what awaits us following that. But one of the things that I've come to understand really well in the last 18 months of the pandemic is that how our community here in Kingborough has the capacity to unite during challenges and to ensure that nobody is left behind. And there are so many examples of community groups that have come together to reach out to residents who have some sort of need due to social or geographic isolation. So there were telephone trees that were established, there were letterbox drops done, offering a hand to neighbours, and that, to me, is the true spirit of community connectedness. And I wanted to take this opportunity just to thank, as we have a number of community groups represented here today, all of those groups who did something like that, who reached out and embraced those in our community who perhaps otherwise could have been left isolated. I think as a community we are definitely stronger for that. So a few reflections on other things that occurred during the year. Just so happened that on the day of the announcement of the state election in April, we were very excited to be opening the new Kingston Park playground, which is arguably the best in the state now. And I know that there are many people in the community looking forward to us opening the second stage of that, and you can see the work happening there at the moment. That will be completed in the next year, and there's going to be significant public open space, more barbecue areas, connected paths, exercise equipment, and a bike pump track, which was not something I was familiar with until I had a lesson on what that was. Apparently it's fun for kids on BMX bikes. The Kingston Park Playground, though, that was just one of actually 195 capital projects that were started or completed in this last financial year. And that sounds like a lot, but considering that we have infrastructure worth $726 million, it is vitally important that we continue to invest in maintenance and upgrades, and of course as well new projects. But with those ambitious plans come some challenges, and one of those is the lack of contractors to undertake some of the works that we've planned. And it's really good, and we spoke about this in the community forum this morning, it's great that we have a strong economy, but it does have a flow-on effect in our ability to deliver some of our promised projects, and it does create some financial challenges as well, as tenders come in significantly above what we had hoped. Some of the other highlights, though, of the past year have been that we've mentioned in the annual report, and I just pulled out a few because I didn't want to take up too much time. But I think the start of our green waste program has been much anticipated by residents and certainly very much embraced by them. We've had the installation of some public waste recycling stations like on Bruny Island and down at Kingston Beach, and more to come in the future. We've done significant work in the areas of one of my favourite topics, cat management, in parts of Kingborough and also on Bruny Island. And we've also seen a really increased use of the Kingborough Community Hub. It's really activated since the COVID restrictions have been lifted, and we've had so many art exhibitions and markets, expos, film screenings and so much more, and some of that we'll hear about in our presentation from Carol this morning. That's just a small snapshot. So, as I mentioned earlier, if you haven't had an opportunity to read the annual report, please do, because I think it helps you to understand the breadth of council activities and that we're not just about roads, rates and rubbish. There is so much more that we do, and that was I was particularly keen to see the presentation today on community services, so you can understand what a vital part of the work that that is that we do, that perhaps many people aren't aware of some of the areas that we work in. Council strategic plan articulates that our vision is to make Kingborough a great place to live, and I just wanted to reiterate that all of the councillors are firmly committed to this, and as Mayor I want to ensure that we can fulfil the vision that we have of the community being at the heart of everything that we do. And our staff play a really big role in this regard, and so I wanted to just take this opportunity to thank each and every one of them for their work. One of the things that's been really great about being Mayor is having members of the community come up to me and say, gee, you've got some fantastic staff. I've had to deal with staff from other councils on a similar issue, and it's been so much better here in Kingborough. And or they'll come up and name a staff member and say, this person is a huge asset to your council. And I think whether it be our works team, our customer service team members, or those who toil perhaps behind the scenes a little more quietly, I want to thank them all for their contributions. Finally, thank you to all of my council colleagues for their commitment to making Kingborough a great place to live. I do feel really fortunate to be Mayor when the members around the table contribute their thoughts, their ideas and their passions in a well-considered and really thoughtful way. And I think what's at the heart of all of that is that each and every one of us who sits around this table does have a passion for representing the communities that have elected us. And I think it's important that the community knows that we may not always agree with one another, but that is a sign of a strong democracy. And we all strive to represent our residents as best we can. So I thank councillors very much for that. And without any further ado, I will leave my report at that. And I don't know if it's too early to wish everybody a happy Christmas. Christmas trees are up, but I do wish everybody a happy and safe Christmas in the coming weeks. And we will now move on to the presentation, which is item 7. So as I mentioned, every year at the AGM, we have a presentation and something that we think will be of interest to the community. So previously we've had presentations on Kingston Park, on water quality. Earlier this year at the last AGM we talked about the Transform Kingston project, which is the revitalisation of the CBD, which I think we all agree is well overdue. The opening of Kingston Park created a lot of valuable conversations in the community about how we actually support our young people, but also more broadly about the sort of community services that we offer. So today's presentation is from the Coordinator of Community Services and the Hub, Carol Swords. There's been a number of new initiatives that have taken place. Most recently during the school holidays there was a wonderful free barbecue and activities for teenagers during a week of the holidays, although the weather wasn't very kind to us unfortunately that week. So I'd like to invite Carol now to make the presentation. Thank you, Carol.
Thank you, Merit. And thank you for inviting me today to talk all about community services. I'm going to start actually by perhaps responding to a question that some people may be asking, which is, what is the actual role of the community services team? And I've written some phrases there that I hope will answer the question. So we're all about bringing the community together, understanding the demographics and socioeconomics of our different localities, to provide opportunities, be it training opportunities or helping to empower our community members, supporting our most vulnerable cohorts or at-risk groups, providing health and well-being opportunities, and certainly engaging and consulting with our community members. So that's what we try to achieve in all of the things that we try to do throughout the year. And I've highlighted two special points at the bottom there, which I suppose are very particular to community services here at Kingborough Council. The first one being to investigate and apply for grant funding. We are a very small team here at Council, and our budgets are quite small as well. So our operational budgets for the year to fund youth programmes, senior programmes, arts and events, the volunteer programme is around about $100,000. So if we've got a special project or programme that we want to deliver that will have far-reaching effects, we do have to rely on grant funding. And I think it's something we've become very good at. Over the past 10 years, the community services staff have been successful in securing just over $1 million of outside funding to deliver projects that benefit our residents directly. So that's what we're trying to achieve, and I hope that when I go through some of the projects that we've done in 2021 that you will be able to see quite clearly that's what we're trying to achieve. So I did mention that we're a very small team. Here we are. So each one of those little pebbles denotes a member of staff. So we have 5 part-time members of staff in the community services team, 1 looking after youth, 1 looking after seniors and some corporate programs, 1 looking after children and mainstream whole community, 1 looking after arts and events, and 1 the Kingborough volunteer program. So each one of those is a part-time member of staff, and myself. So starting off with our young people and supporting our young people, this is just a cross-section, so these are just some of the things that we have done this year, and the two there on the left-hand side, the weekly workshops and the school holiday activities, they've become really established programs now. So the school holiday program runs every school holiday, and we offer a variety of different activities, both at our different locations, maybe in our community halls, maybe at the community hub, and we sometimes go out further afield and do some different activities. So you can see there rock climbing in different ways, both inside and outside. The school holiday program this year, the next one coming up in January, February, the young people will go surfing, for example, at Kingston Beach, and they'll do some paddleboarding at Kingston Beach also. The weekly workshops, if you can see the finer print there, you'll see the word Y space. So that program was for earlier on in the year. We've actually moved locations to the community hub now, and we're very much looking forward to resuming our weekly workshops in February 2022, where we'll be making use of the community hub. The community hub spaces. The weekly workshops are focused on vocational training, inviting young people to experience different activities that they may not have experienced before, and it's all about helping them to make connections and getting them out of the house and hopefully off screens. We have YAC there, that's our our Youth Action Kingborough, a group of young people who meet once a month to talk about issues that are related to young people in the Kingborough municipality. And they are at the moment trying to set up an initiative called YouthThink, and that's inviting anyone here in Kingborough to come along and talk about issues affecting young people. A very new project we had earlier in the year, and the two projects there are related, the Youth Art Showcase and the Stormwater to Sea project. That was all about raising awareness of keeping our waterways healthy. And as such, we had lots of young people creating artworks to deliver that message. And those artworks were exhibited in the Youth Art Showcase, which took place in National Youth Week. And not only was there pieces of artwork exhibited, we had a youth market. So we had some young entrepreneurs there selling their wares. And we also had some young performers and musicians. So that was a beautiful event that took place in the auditorium during National Youth Week. The Get Ready for Work program, that's a really important four-day, very intense set of workshops. It's for older youth, so mainly young people aged 15 to 22, and they are young people who are looking for work in the hospitality industry. Now, that might be part-time work to help them as they study, or it may be full-time work as well, and we've had some fabulous results from that program. The young people acquire vocational certificates in senior first aid, RSA, they do safe food handling, they do an advanced barista course, and they also do workshops in CV writing and interview techniques. So at the end of the 4 days, the young people have this clutch of vocational certificates and items to put on their CV, which may have been very, very empty when they came to us. And lastly, we have the Young Men's and Women's Programme that runs twice a year, and we're linking with Kingston High School for that programme, and it's mainly their hard-to-reach young people. So they come to us during the day for 3 hours a week, and they attend workshops mainly driven by PCYC, Pulse Youth Health and Drug Education Network. So it's all about getting them together, making them aware of different support services that there are, and also getting to know us at community services as well. So I'll move on to seniors. Probably a nice one to start with is the intergenerational event, because that's obviously linked to our young people as well. And this is a partnership we've had going for almost 10 years now between youth and positive ageing. And it runs twice a year, and it's all about a group of young people who we recruit. We used to have quite large numbers pre-COVID, so we had 12 young chefs, and they would be trained by our chef and trainer in menu planning, actually creating the dishes, lots of tasting, and then they actually cater for a big event during Seniors Week and during kind of a Christmas in July activity for a large group of seniors. As I say, that used to be quite large. It used to be 120 seniors. We've reduced the numbers now due to COVID. But lots of mutual benefits there. The young people get to learn new skills, work together with one another, and obviously serve the seniors in our community. And the seniors as well get a lot out of that event. You know, some seniors come completely on their own, and by the time they leave, 2.5 hours later, they've met a new set of friends. So a really great event where those two cohorts meet. Throughout the year, we've had some active programs for seniors, so our seasonal walks and Nordic walking, where groups of seniors get to experience our fabulous tracks and trails and make those connections with one another. We've had a Live Well, Live Long programme. That's a partnership with the Department of Health. That's run twice throughout the year because it was so oversubscribed. And that's a 10-week programme where a group of 30 seniors come together and are empowered and educated in different areas of health. And it's all about them maintaining independence as they get older. And it's been really constructive to be able to consult and engage with those seniors, because from that we've been able to deliver information sessions for seniors. The picture there is from a session that took place a couple of weeks ago on dementia awareness, and we've got another one in a couple of weeks on financial awareness. So lots of things happening for our seniors. Okay, moving on to activities for children and the general community. So I think some of you were fortunate enough to come to our Carers Expo a couple of weeks ago, and this was a grant-funded project from a couple of years ago where some carers in our municipality, their lives were documented over the course of about 10 weeks, and a film was produced and directed by Mast Films. And in the expo a couple of weeks ago, we premiered that documentary, which was really, really a touching film. And we also showcased the different support organisations for carers in our community. Just moving down there, we have Kids Allowed. So this is an established programme, and it's all about providing nature-based and art activities for children in different spaces. So we've used Channel Court in the past. We're now focusing on Kingston Park because it's where everyone wants to be. And then we have Learning for Life. Now, this is a huge programme. It's a monthly programme, and we're trying to reach as many different cohorts as possible in the municipality. So I've got some statistics here. So from January to November, we actually sold 1,718 different tickets for different Learning for Life activities. Those activities range from Pilates, yoga, composting workshops, there's a mosaic workshops there, bike maintenance, that one looks like. So it's all about trying to engage as many different cohorts as possible and making those workshops affordable so they are accessible and inclusive. Okay, arts and events. So it's been a funny year for events because we haven't been delivering our large-scale events as such. So we've concentrated on smaller events due to COVID restrictions. So you can see there at the bottom the opening of Kingston Park, which was wonderful. And we activated that space with a series of smaller events that took place over a couple of months. We had a grant-funded small event there, the International Women's Day event that took place in West Winds, and we had three fabulous speakers, including our deputy mayor, and we've had different arts exhibitions throughout the year there, so you can see Salvaged Art. So that's something that takes place every couple of years and open to everyone in the community. They just have to make pieces of artwork from repurposed materials. I think we had about 40 entries this time. It was open for 3 days and we had about 300 visitors to that. And you can see our latest art acquisition there at the bottom from Art Farm Birches Bay. And that's going to form part of a sculpture trail that we're currently working on. Okay, our volunteer programme. So this is all about providing social support, pet support, transport support and gardening for our over 65s in the municipality. We have about 200 clients, their age between 65 and 104, and we have about 65 volunteers, and their age between 28 and 83, believe it or not. So that's a great program to address social isolation and really allowing those volunteers to make connections with those who really, really need support in our community. Okay, so we take part in some whole of council programs. So we've got there, we support the Disability Access Committee. We support the committee and the projects that they're trying to deliver. There's a great snap there of the Disability Access Ramp that was opened a couple of weeks ago. We help to deliver the Kingborough Awards, and the past recipients are there in that photo. We deliver waste education programs, and there's an image there of Mama Rosa, the Italian comedian who has become the waste ambassador. That's the introduction of the Fogo bins there at Kingston Beach, and there's also a picture from our really, really free market. We help to deliver citizenship ceremonies, and we also administer community grant programs. So I think I mentioned one of the things I highlighted in the objectives was also that a new role for community services is to activate and help to operate our wonderful space at the Community Hub. And this is a new responsibility for the Community Services team and something we're really excited about. Some of us are already housed there, and by mid-2022 we're hoping that all of us will be housed there once some modifications have taken place in the front office. So we're going to, and we are actually now helping to activate the different spaces at the Hub. We're assisting with the day-to-day operations, helping to promote and market the spaces, and also, really importantly, supporting different hirers of the spaces too. So in terms of activating the spaces, those flyers, very colourful flyers, are some of the projects, programmes, activities, events that we as council staff have organised throughout the year. So you can see there's markets there, different, just enjoyable events taking place on a Friday evening, different talks, expos, exhibitions. We hope to do much more of those next year. And also more glossy flyers. Now, those are different activities that our hirers have organised. So it's all about supporting them and trying to make their activities as successful as possible. So you can see there, we had a fabulous charity night. We had some art house film screenings. We had a TASDAD's event, different exhibitions. So lots of those very, very successful activities. Some of our hirers don't produce glossy brochures like that, so I've just listed some of our hirers there, and you can see they fall into different kind of categories. Local businesses using our spaces throughout 2021, different art groups and exhibitors, state government groups, as well as sporting groups, not-for-profit groups and multicultural groups. And I think the really fabulous thing there is that many of those are returning hirers, so lots of them come back time and time and again, which is great. Okay, new for 2022. I had to be careful here because we're in very uncertain times, but these are some of the things we're looking forward to doing. So some weekly arts and crafts workshops at Kin, that's our space at the back of Kingston Beach Hall there. The Lions Club, they're going to be delivering their Kingborough Art Prize for the first time at the Community Hub, and they're very excited about that, as are we, and we're going to be supporting them throughout that. We're going to continue with our weekly pop-up youth space, Barbecue and Beats, that's in Kingston Park, and we did pilot that in the last school holiday, and it was successful, despite some weather challenges. We're going to be delivering an end-of-life expo. Now, this came about with engaging with our seniors, who really wanted some practical information and advice about things like enduring guardianship and wills and financial help in that time. Love Living Locally, we're not going to be delivering that huge event for obvious reasons, but there will be a series of smaller events from January to April. We're going to be organising a zero waste expo at the Hub. We want to produce a youth opportunities in Kingborough brochure, which will be a one-stop shop for all things youth, for parents and young people. And we are currently organising a Harmony Week event, which will take place in March. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol. I don't know if there's a coincidence between the fact that you stopped talking and all of a sudden the rain started, but can everyone still hear me? Thank you very much. Does anybody have any questions for Carol? I'm sure she'd be happy to answer them. No? Thank you for that. Oh, Julian.
Thanks very much, Carol. It's so impressive.
You might need to use the microphone because I can't hear you. Would you mind? Okay, yeah, if you wouldn't mind. Oh, now it's going to stop. It sounds like hail. Is that on?
Thanks.
Thanks, Dad.
Thanks very much, Carol. That's so impressive, the spread of your work. And I've been involved in a number of areas in this community now for the last 25 years. And it's vastly improved in terms of community development. I have two areas of question in terms of diversity groups. And there is a big need, I think, in terms of our community to look at diversity management in a new way, because our population is changing substantially. And one is in relation to the LGBTIQ plus community, in terms of the sensitivity of that particular group, in terms of youth. They do not identify. And despite the changes in terms of the Marriage Act, there are still substantial problems in our community, and particularly in this area, where our rates of suicide are 6 times the national average. And I'm just wondering if that's taken into consideration at all.
Thanks for the question. We haven't as yet, I mean, we're looking forward to our community engagement officer coming on board, so that possibly in the future we can deliver some targeted programs. What I can say is that through our programs for young people and the contractors that we have used and the educators that we have used and the staff that we have in youth services, we have been able to support many at-risk young people from different groups, and we have been able to offer individual support to those young people, and we've also been able to advise them and be a point of referral for them so that they can engage with different support services. So I suppose in terms of answering your question, we do hope to perhaps deliver some more targeted programs when we have the information that we really need, when we go through that engagement process, but also to assure you that we have, and we do throughout our time in delivering programs, offer really intensive support to at-risk young people.
Thank you. I'm from Rainbow Communities Tasmania Inc, and we're really looking forward to that engagement strategy too, because our communities are an important part of the overall communities, and it's our community too, working in terms of cultural awareness training that we do and recognising that relationship. Second group that I think is really important, that's moving substantially into the Kingston community, is the overseas students. We're actually working with 72 countries that execute in prison people from a lot of the countries that these people are coming from. A lot of our community get forced into migration, and the only way they can get into the country is by a student visa. And so again, we're doing a lot of work with these students. And again, there's a lot of support that's needed for them. I mean, generally, not only just the LGBTIQ plus community, but generally them coming into our community. Yeah. They have very low income, etc.
I completely agree, and that's a great question as well. And it's something that we have definitely noticed, not only with young people, but new settlers to our community, especially those where English is their second language, and there are those communication barriers. And we have seen that the ethnic makeup of Kingborough has changed dramatically over the last 3 or 4 years. And certainly what we have realised is that lots of our youth programmes, which are completely free of charge and all about training and empowering young people, we have lots of requests from adults, from new settlers, as I say, not just young people but adults who want to access our programs, because there is a huge training need amongst these people, because they have to work, they have to earn a living, and they haven't got the language skills or the vocational skills to be able to find employment. So it's certainly an area that we are looking at. We have applied for some outside funding to be able to support those cohorts and their quest for support and training. And we're really looking forward to the new ABS data, the census data, because there will be huge changes in terms of the ethnic makeup of Kingborough. So I do think that data will be very powerful for us to be able to apply for funding so that we can further support those vulnerable cohorts.
Thank you. There are two areas that are important in terms of their visa requirements. One is that they have to engage in volunteer work, and they're moving into regional areas, so the visas apply to regional areas, plus the part of their visa requirement is that they engage in volunteer work. And secondly, the other area is interesting, is the gym.
Okay.
And free membership of the gym would be very valuable. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Are there any further questions for Carol? If not, thank you very much, Carol, for that presentation. I think I can see there were quite a few people taking notes about things that they perhaps weren't aware of. You mentioned that over the last 10 years that the area has managed to secure $1 million in external grant funding, and that's certainly very impressive because I know how hard it is and how competitive those grants are. So that's a huge credit to you and your team. So to all of the team, thank you very much for the work that you do. We really appreciate it. Thank you. We now move to agenda item 8, and it is the 2020-21 annual report. Submissions were invited from the public and they closed on the 30th of November. At the time that the agenda was compiled, we actually didn't receive any submissions, so we just note...
Yeah, we had a couple of questions.
We had some questions, and they're in the attachments, but we didn't have any other substantial submissions. So we now move to public questions without notice and motions from the floor. So as I mentioned earlier, this is where we throw open the floor to everyone who is here today. If you'd like to ask a question or move a notice of motion, it's just a matter of going to the microphone, stating your name and the suburb you live in. If I just could ask for the sake of time, if you could please keep your preamble as brief as possible. You can certainly ask multiple or supplementary questions, but it helps everyone if you can keep the preamble brief and get to the question. It also helps those who are trying to answer the questions. If you are moving a notice of motion, if you have a seconder, you obviously need to have a seconder for that motion, so you would need to put the motion, state the motion you'd like to move, and then I will call for a seconder. Obviously, if there is no seconder to the motion, then we can't take the motion. You are allowed to speak up to 5 minutes on your motion. You can only speak once, but you also do have a right of reply as the mover once others have spoken. So we'll deal with the motion in its entirety, and then there'll be voting via show of hands. And just a reminder that only those who are enrolled as electors in Kimberah are entitled to vote on a notice of motion. Any notice of motion that is then passed will be considered at the next available council meeting. So,
I did put three submissions in.
They're in the attachment.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So would anybody like to ask a question without notice or move a notice of motion? Yes, thank you. Mr. Westwood.
Thank you, Mayor.
Just the button on the front that says talk.
Yeah,
talks. Thank you, Mayor. The motion that I would like to put... Oh, firstly, my name is Ray Westwood. I live at Bonnet Hill. The motion I'd like to put is that Council consider the direction in the strategic plan. The community are at the heart of everything we do. Be reflected in future long-term financial plans and annual documentation by incorporating an additional clause, and this is the clause. It is important to balance rate revenue as a funding source with community sensitivity to rate increases, including rates affordability within the general community and the level of service required by the community.
Thank you. Do we have a seconder for that motion? Seconded by Tricia Ramsey. Thank you, Mr. Westwood.
Mayor, I'll speak briefly to this.
Sure.
There is... Sorry.
No, we have to hear his... Before you can move an amendment, we have to hear his contribution.
Mayor, in New South Wales and Victoria, there is legislation which is called rate capping legislation, which regulates by the Minister in each financial year the overall revenue that councils are able to obtain. Now, that decision is taken by the Minister on the after consultation with various authorities within government that stipulate what this figure should be. It has been between 2% and 3%, sometimes slightly over 3% in the past financial years. Now, those figures are recommended to the Minister after a lot of research. It is apparent that in Council here that those figures are completely very much higher. And you can go back over the rates revenue for the years. Previously it has been 5%, 7%, etc. I'm talking about overall rates revenue. This is not the general rate, it's the overall revenue. So there is a very big gap between what happens in Victoria and New South Wales and, in fact, legislation being prepared in Western Australia. So this motion actually leads to a situation where in each long-term financial plan and each strategic plan that the council has each year, there should be statements that recognise that there is a need to cover the needs of council and the needs of the ratepayers. Now, we recognise that council has needs. You've got tremendous programs that we've just seen. They need financing. But the ratepayers also have needs. And it's a balance that's recognised in New South Wales, Victoria and Western Australia that needs to be addressed. So this motion, we believe, if words are put into the long-term financial plan and also the strategic plan to cover those sort of deficiencies and aspirations that should be at the heart of what council is doing. That's the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Westwood. Speakers for or against the motion?
I'd like to move.
Do you want to come over to move your amendment, please, Mr. Punch?
I'd like to move an amendment to the motion. And that would be the end of the second sentence in terms of removing general to replace it with diverse population and regional spread of the community.
So I'll just read what the motion then would be with those words. It would be the additional clause to be incorporated that's in the quotation marks there would now read, it is important to balance rate revenue as a funding source with community sensitivity to rate increases, including rates affordability, within the diverse population and regional spread of the community and the level of service required by the community. Is that accurate?
Yes. Yep. Yeah, thank you.
Is that amendment acceptable to the mover and the seconder of the motion? No? Okay. In that case, we'll have to take a vote on the amendment. Did you want to speak to the amendment before we put it to the vote?
Oh, just very briefly. I mean, I think...
Sorry, I need a seconder for the amendment. Yeah. Beg your pardon. Thank you, Mr. Doran. Would you like to speak to your amendment?
Yeah, just very briefly. I think we've recognised already in terms of some of the things that we've been talking about in terms of community development in the community, we are not a general community. We are a very heavily rural community, and there is considerable concern within the rural areas that we face particular problems in terms of fire management, etc., etc., and that is not being generally considered in terms of the rate increases in the services that result from that. And secondly, we are also a diverse population, and it's recognised in terms of law that we are a diverse population, and there are particular needs in relation to those diverse communities. Thanks.
Thank you. Would anybody else like to speak for or against the amendment to the motion? If not, I'll put the amendment. So what we're voting on now is the amendment as printed on the screen that replaced the word general with the words diverse population and regional spread of the community. All those in favour of the amendment, please raise your hands. We have two in favour. All those against the amendment. One, two, three, four, five against. The amendment is lost. So we're back on the substantive motion, which was moved by Mr. Westwood and seconded by Ms. Ramsey. Did anybody else want to speak for or against the motion? If not, going once, going twice, I will put the motion. All those in favour of the motion, so I'll read it just for clarity. The motion is that Council consider the direction in the strategic plan, the community are at the heart of everything we do, be reflected in future long-term financial plans and annual budget documentation by incorporating an additional clause. And that clause is, it is important to balance rate revenue as a funding source with community sensitivity to rate increases, including rates affordability within the general community and the level of service required by the community. All those in favour of the motion, please raise your hands. One, two, three, four. Do you see four? Yep, four in favour. All those against the motion. And two against. The motion is carried. Thank you. Are there further notices of motion or questions on notice? Yep. Ms. Ramsey. Just press the talk button. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. I have a motion here.
Sorry, just name and address, even though I know
sorry,
who you are.
Sorry, Fisher Ramsey.
Kingston.
Kingston Beach. My motion is that Council consider adoption of a continuous improvement policy to facilitate advances in the quality of administrative processes, service delivery and accountability systems, reduce costs and waste, simplify work processes and improve employee and customer satisfaction.
Thank you. Do I have a seconder for the motion, please? We've got it on the screen now. Seconded by Mr. Westwood. Would you like to speak to the motion?
Thank you. by way of background, Council doesn't have a continuous improvement policy, although recently some policies are starting to incorporate the concept. For instance, the risk management policy is based on the principle of facilitating continuous improvement, and an objective of the new complaints management policy is to continually improve services, systems and capabilities. Continuous improvement is a management tool that drives incremental improvement and change across organisations. It improves service delivery, administrative processes and accountability systems, fosters cultural improvements, efficiencies and innovation within the organisation, underpins the vision, values and strategic outcomes of the strategic plan. It's an important initiative to underpin the risk management policy, and it can translate into improved quality, reduced costs, simplified work processes, less waste, and improved customer satisfaction. A continuous improvement policy would benefit the whole community by assisting to realise the following strategic outcomes in your current strategic plan. That is outcome 2.1, which the service provision meets the current and future requirements of residents and visitors. 2.4, the organisation has a corporate culture that delivers quality customer service, encourages innovation and has high standards of accountability. And 2.5, council is a desirable place to work, attracting committed and engaged staff through progressive human resource practices and a positive work environment. In general, resourcing a continuous improvement policy would incur an initial cost with developing baseline data, which is then analysed, streamlined and continuously improved. The opportunity costs of not proceeding with a continuous improvement policy are too great. It would inhibit the superior standards of administrative excellence and service delivery the councillor is striving to achieve in some of its other policies that it recently has implemented or is about to. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Would anyone else like to speak for or against the motion that we have before us? Yep, Mr. Punch. Because we're recording and viewing it from home, people can't hear it otherwise. It's on already.
Thank you. In relation, I'd like to move an amendment in relation to the second dot point between fosters cultural, and that is that it fosters diverse population cultural improvements.
I'm just trying to see where that would go.
Second dot point.
There isn't a dot point, it's just one recommendation. The recommendation reads that that Council consider adoption of a continuous improvement policy to facilitate advances in the quality of administrative processes, service delivery and accountability systems, reduce costs and waste, simplify work processes and improve employee and customer satisfaction. That's the motion.
Oh, sorry, it's different. It's different to the one that we've been given.
I think you might be referring to just the background information that was circulated with it.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'll withdraw it. It's an important point, but I'll withdraw it.
Thank you. Are there any further speakers before? Thank you. Would you like to speak?
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Rob Crosswaite from Lower Snark. I speak against this motion, mostly because it's a nonsense motion. And I'm suggesting that if the mover and seconder were really serious, they would be promoting things like jumping up and down and skipping rope as good for community service and community efficiency as well. This is one of those propositions that we constantly get plagued with. We need to improve stuff. Now, of course we need to improve stuff. We don't need a nonsense motion to a council annual general meeting for us to get that inside our heads. It's something we do every day. Our mayor does it, our general manager does it, everybody on our council does it. And I think we could do much better exercise with our time than consider this nonsense.
Thank you. Are there any further speakers for or against the motion? Ms Ramsey, did you want to a brief right of reply before I put the vote?
Thank you. Mayor, last year the Kingborough Ratepayers Association put together a 37-page document on oversight, accountability and governance. In that document we highlighted a number of issues that are of serious concern to the broad general or to the community. And one of the recommendations that we made in that submission, which is freely available to anyone to download from our web page, is that to adopt a continuous improvement policy. It's something that we have given tremendous thought about, and we think that it is something that would considerably improve not only staff culture, but it would also improve how the community interacts as in terms of service delivery. I think it's a great initiative. I commend it to the floor, and I hope I get the floor support in doing so. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So I'll put the motion now. It's as printed on the screen. It's moved by Tricia Ramsey, seconded by Ray Restwood. All those in favour of the motion, please raise your hands. One, two, three. Those against? One, two, three, four, five. So it's three in favour, five against. The motion is lost. Do we have any other notices of motion or questions? Ms Ramsey.
Would anyone else like to go before? No? Yes, this is firstly a question, Mayor. It relates to the agenda, and I noticed that there were council-only invited submissions to the annual report, but in fact questions were included in the agenda. Is there any reason at all, procedural or otherwise, that restricts notices of motion from being incorporated into council's AGM agendas?
I'll ask the general manager to address that.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you for the question. One of the reasons that it's not included is simply that because the annual general meeting requires a person to be in attendance to actually move the motion, it has not been protocol for this council to include in advance any notices of motion. Anyone is welcome to attend the annual general meeting, notwithstanding that because of the pandemic requirements we've had to, for this particular year and last year, have an Eventbrite process whereby registration in advance was required.
I'm just wondering whether, I mean, you know, technically, would it matter if they were printed? If the person then wasn't here, then the motion just lapses. So surely for the information of everybody in future, we could print them in the agenda, and then if the person who's put them forward is not here, then that might be a better way to go forward in future.
I'd suggest that if people were interested in making or moving a motion and seconding it, that they'd organise to be here at... it's an administrative protocol from what I see.
I just think it would be useful to have, because then it allows others who are intending to come to consider the matter before it appears
on
the day.
So. It's the same courtesy that applies to council, is at their council meeting.
Yep. We're happy to take that suggestion on board and amend that for next year.
Thank you very much.
Are there any further questions or notices of motion? Yep, Mr. Punch.
I've introduced myself. I've got two involvements in this. One is the most important one is the I'm president of the Rainbow Community Tasmania, which is a general statewide organisation that relates to the lesbian, bisexual, transgender, intersex and queer community. And I also, in terms of respect for diversity, I wish to honour the traditional owners of the land, the Manawinna people, their leaders, past and present, their culture and traditions. And on behalf of, this is the motion, on behalf of Rainbow Community Tasmania Incorporated and the Kingston Chapter, I wish to move a motion of sincere thanks to two LGBTIQ plus liaison councillors, Kingborough municipality councillors, that is David Grace and Michelle Higgins, and their families who gave and continue to give our communities so much support. I so move.
Thank you. We'll just make sure that we get... Could you just repeat that motion, just so that we can get it up on the screen, please?
Yep, I'm happy to give you a copy. On behalf of Rainbow Communities Tasmania Incorporated and the
Mrs. Morton's typing. Yeah. She's fast, but...
Yeah,
okay.
She is.
Yep.
On behalf of Rainbow Communities Tasmania Incorporated and the Kingston Chapter...
Yes?
I wish to move a motion...
Yes.
Of sincere thanks to the two LGBTIQ plus liaison councillors, David Grace and Michelle Higgins.
Can I just suggest you might put Councillor David Grace and former Councillor Michelle Higgins?
Yes,
just to reflect.
And former Councillor Michelle Higgins.
Yep.
And their families who gave and continue to give our communities so much support.
Thank you. We've got the motion on the screen now. Do I have a seconder for the motion? Seconded Mr. Doran. Thank you. Would you like to speak to the motion?
Yes, just briefly. The Coming Out Proud program was initiated 10 years ago and it was first approved of by the Hobart City Council and then secondly by the Kingborough Council. And it then was approved by over 20 councils in the state. It set up a program of anti-discrimination management in the municipalities in respect of all the attributes, but especially under the Act, the Anti-Discrimination Act, but especially in relation to the LGBTIQ plus communities. It gave us and it gave the attribute groups which include disability, CALD, a range of disadvantaged communities that are mentioned under the Act, a whole sense of cultural awareness training. And one of the first things that happened in this council was that all the councillors were trained under the Act by the Anti-Discrimination Commission. Unfortunately, that's now disappeared. But it also moved our community from the then view of immoral, unnatural and decadent to one of acknowledgement, respect and celebration. So it was a huge advancement. The two people that were appointed as liaison councillors, we had regular monthly meetings, and that related back to the council. We owned those committees, so it was no impost on the council in terms of the decisions that we made, but it was a huge advancement generally in this state in relation to diversity management, which has been so important. And it related especially to the director of local government and the direction number three, which is a requirement of public servants generally in this state, in relation to the observation of diversity management. And the head of each department had to provide every year a report on diversity management. I know these have been difficult and dark days for one of those councillors, and that's been a big concern to our community, that we need to manage conflict in our community. And it's particularly important for the diversity communities that we manage that diversity. And all I can say is, blessed are the peacemakers. And I think that mediation in conflict is a really important resource, particularly for diversity groups, because it is conflict. It's a conflict area. I would hope that one of the things that I would hope is that the Kingborough Chronicle, to which we pay rates as rate payers to, in terms of support, that they would also honour that. So I so move.
Thank you. Do I have sorry, I beg your pardon, we do have a seconder. Is there anybody who would like to speak before or against the motion? No. Thank you. In that case, I will put the motion. I'll just read it as it's printed on the screen. On behalf of Rainbow Communities Tasmania Incorporated and the Kingston Chapter, I wish to move a motion of sincere thanks to the two LGBTIQ plus liaison councillors, Councillor David Grace and former Councillor Michelle Higgins, and their families who gave and continue to give our communities so much support. All those in favour of the motion, please raise your hands. We have two votes in favour. All those against the motion? None against. The motion is carried. Thank you. Are there any further questions or motions? Mr. Crosswhite.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Rob Crosswhite again, Lower Snake. I'm not sure how this might be transmogrified into a motion, but I think the comments are relevant. At the Kingborough Consulting Forum, which preceded this meeting, we had some discussion at my instigation, I must admit, about the capacity of local government to meet its community, I would call them community responsibilities. And I make that comment in relation to some work that I've been doing over the last few years on the implementation of the coastal policy, for which the councils have a fair amount of responsibility. And in looking through hundreds of submissions to reviews of that policy, I note that in almost every case, the devolution of responsibility from state governments, or well, first of all, from federal government to the state government, to local councils in the implementation of the management of our coasts, invariably the responders to those review processes said, "Where's the money?" And I've take note that over the last 20 years or so, we've had a process in which federal governments and state governments, in response to particularly the Hilmer Report on competition and the ideology that, that surrounded that.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing. I'm not sure it's clear if you're asking a question
I'm going to ask a question in
okay.
A moment.
Just if you could
in response
start to frame that, that would be appreciated.
Yeah, in response to that, it seems to me that one of the areas that would be best served would be to engage our community servicing in community building. And I'm wondering whether our community services program, in addition to making job ready programs and those purely utilitarian things, would engage in community program building as well.
Thank you. I might ask Dr. Stevenson if she'd like to address that as the director responsible for community.
Mr. Crossthwaite, would you just please clarify what you mean by community building for me to help me address that question?
I could probably answer that in response to comparing it with the job ready programs. We are quite happy for our teenagers and so forth to be put through processes of getting job ready. In other words, become part of the economic community. We don't do the same sort of activity or the same intention with regard to community building. It seems to me that one of the areas which local government, being by its own confession closest to communities, ought to be engaged in at least support for a succession planning type activity with regard to making communities more viable and more effective. I think I'd probably endorse that. The General Manager's comment during the forum a while ago that the like community organisations, local government is also a not-for-profit.
Thank you. Dr. Stevenson.
And needs the support all it can get.
I confess I'm still a little uncertain, but I'll... If you're referring to engaged citizenship, yes, okay... Certainly, I do think collectively we can all play a part of that, not just community services, but through things like the community forums and the like, and I'd be happy to take that on notice to have a look at further.
Thank you. Are there any further questions on notice or any notices of motion that anyone would like to move? No? That being the case, we've reached the closure of the meeting. So thank you to everyone for being here today. It looks like the rain has stopped and the sun has come out, so it's safe to exit the building. Thank you for your participation and the manner in which you all did that in the spirit of cooperation and goodwill today. We appreciate your attendance. There being no further business, then I'll declare the meeting closed at 12:17 p.m. Thank you very much.